Welcome to the EU Energy Projects podcast, a podcast series from Enlit and Friends, focusing on the clean energy transition for the European Union and the EU Commission-funded energy projects that will help us achieve it. My name is Areti Daradimou. I am the editor of the EU Energy Projects podcast and your host. Hello, everyone. I am joined today by Manuel Galvez, Senior European Affairs Advisor for Elia Group and Vice Convener for Policy within ENTSO-E's Policy and Communications Group. Together, we'll explore how EU policy, funding, and cross-border cooperation are shaping Europe's energy transition and the role of TSOs in delivering a secure, sustainable, and integrated electricity system. Manuel, thank you for being here with me today. And let me ask you, what is Elia Group's business and how it balances its national role as a TSO with its broader European responsibilities?
Yeah, many thanks for having me, Areti. Elia Group is a European energy company. And so we are active in electricity transmission system operation in two countries. So Elia in Belgium, but also 50 Hertz in the northeast of Germany. So we are responsible for, of course, developing the grid, managing the grids, also balancing the grids 24/7, of course, and as well as market facilitation. Beyond of mandates, of course, a national level, because the electricity system is very interconnected. So we also cooperate closely with our neighbor TSOs, also via the European Association and SOE in different matters. So this is how we do our business, both locally and also at pan-European level.
What would you see as the most important and pressing priorities for EU energy policy in the next 5 years?
Well, I think that we have seen that today there's a clear focus on competitiveness and security compared to what we saw a couple of years ago. I think that's because of the recent geopolitical events. That doesn't mean that the carbonization is lost and is forgotten, but is today more and more seen as a means to an end. So means to competitiveness and security. For energy, actually, this is very important, as energy and affordable energy, but also secure energy, is key to ensure both European competitiveness, but also European security of supply. And so more concretely, for electricity sectors, what we see as priorities, and actually that's also very much present in the Commission's agenda, is, for instance, how to ensure access to affordable grid technologies, also how to accelerate the delivery of grids, also ensuring financing, both private but also public financing for grids. On the other end, we also need to increase electrification, so to be able to channel and to use optimally the renewables that are being integrated. We need also to ensure physical and cybersecurity for the entire energy system. And last but not least, also, we think that we need also to eliminate barriers for electricity trading with trusted neighbors, for instance, between the EU and UK.
You already hinted on the geopolitical, issues that we're facing nowadays. And I wanted to ask you, given this geopolitical uncertainty, what should be the priorities for the EU to strengthen energy resilience? You mentioned also cybersecurity, which is quite important.
So perhaps first of all, we believe that Europe should avoid backtracking on their carbonization ambitions as a means to an end. But also it's important for all the previous ambitions that I was just mentioned. So in particular, in a business that needs a lot of capital investments and has a long-term horizon, we believe that we need stable goals in that term. So that's create a reliable framework for industry to invest. And so that's very important. So avoid backtracking to undercarbonization ambitions. On the other side, of course, that means that Europe needs to continue supporting and increasing deployment of renewables on the one side, but also expand electrification. So you need both sides of the story. And of course, you need also the means to interconnect these two aspects. And that's why the importance of investing in electricity grids, not only onshore, but also offshore. And last but not least, of course, we also need to manage more and more external threats. So security is not new for us. We have been managing operational security and it's part of our DNA, but we see more and more threats, not only on the physical side, but also on the cyber side. And so for this, we need a joint cooperation between market actors, grid operators, but also very much authorities, regulators, and also collaboration with other critical sectors, including defense, for instance.
Yes, to be honest, a few years back, I visited TenneT's, the Dutch TSO's, not offices, but its working area, let's say, the actual area where everything takes place. And it was more secure than Fort Knox, I would say. It really, really impressed me. And I have no reason to think that other TSOs in Europe, including, of course, Elia, 50 Hertz, are not the same. But security is one thing. There is also competitiveness that is quite important. So I wanted to ask you, how do you see the role of electrification and grids to enable competitiveness of the European industry?
Indeed. So that was as I mentioned. So the correlation is not forgotten. This is a means to an end to achieve both competitive and security supply. So if we are developing more and more homegrown renewables, just as a step to achieve a bit more European independence, we need also the means to use efficiently those kind of energy. So, and that's why electrification brings an important role. We know that not all the energy demand will be electrified, but a very important part of it. So in transport, for instance, there are a lot of advancements via EVs, not only for public, but also private aspects. We have also many industrial processes that can be electrified. And so I believe that this is something that where there should be a bit more support. But also we need, again, to invest in electricity grids. Also, we need to invest in digital infrastructure. So in order for this electrification to absorb as much as possible the renewable energies, we need also that a good part of this demand to be flexible, meaning be able to respond to price signals, but also to contribute to the stability of the energy system. So that's a bit very important. And of course, as again, grids at this DSO level, but also transmission level, but onshore, offshore, as well as interconnectors will help channeling the renewables, connecting with demand centers, and make efficient use of it.
There is also the grids package that the European Commission will publish, as they say, before the end of this year. Even if it takes a little bit more, it should be in the close future. So what do you see as the priorities in order to accelerate the delivery of electricity grids, something that is very important and nowhere near finished?
No, definitely. I think that if we see the numbers, both at TSO and DSO level, we are talking at hundreds of billions of investment in the next 5 to 10 years. So what we believe that is that this package should really focus on the delivery and simplification of the frameworks. So this should be, for us, the main points. And I hope that the Commission goes in that direction with their proposal. And so we see four main points within those. On the one side, of course, in terms of planning, what we believe is that we should foster more regional coordination and cooperation. A lot of projects are really well identified, but there is a really a delay in the implementation of those projects. And so agreeing project by project sometimes is very difficult. We don't see the complete picture, but we have a better regional collaboration, not only for onshore, but in particular for offshore grids. I think this can help to put all the different actors together, technical actors such as TSOs, but also member states and regulatory authorities, to find solutions, how to share costs, what needs to be invested, and how fast. So actually, from Elia Group, we are active in a collaboration called Offshore TSO Collaboration, so where we bring our technical views to decision makers, and we hope that this can help making, let's say, conscious and informed decisions. So that's one important point. Of course, I mentioned again, need to unlock private and public financing, in particular, for instance, a bit calling about the CFE funding, but happy to discuss a bit later on. Streamlining permitting, I think this is very important as well for us, not only for us as TSO, but also I think at DSO level. And perhaps two big points as well is we need to provide attention to supply chain of grid technologies. We have a really, as TSOs, we mainly source actually from Europe. So it's not really an issue of a lack of competitiveness or that other manufacturers are invading the market. But actually, it's European technology. But of course, it's not only required by European TSOs. It's also required by international TSOs. And so on top of increasing capacity, of manufacturing capacity, what we believe is also important to really streamline and allow more flexibility in terms of procurement. And of course, last but not least, I think that the topic of grid connections is very hot, is very important. We see not only in some parts a lack of capacity, but also a lot of queues for accessing the grid. And there, I think we believe that the Commission guidance on grid connections is really important to allow and to give a bit of direction on how member states and regulatory authorities could use the existing provisions to adapt, for instance, to a more prioritized approach. A more prioritized approach in terms of, for instance, what are the scenarios in network plans, but also in the maturity of the projects.
Hello, everyone. Arete here. I would like to personally invite you to discover the EU Project Zone at Enlit Europe 2025 in Bilbao. Our event takes place from the 18th to the 20th of November. Come say hi to me at the EU Project Zone. Manuel, I would like you to put your NCOE hat on now and tell me, how does NCOE's 10-year network development plan influence funding decisions and EU political priorities, if it does?
It's an important part of the process. So the TYNDP is developed by NCOE, of course, in collaboration with all the other associations, NCOG for gas, but also in the future with the European Association for Network Operators for Hydrogen. So these are joint collaboration in different phases for developing scenarios, for identifying later on by sector the needs, but also to look at what are the cross-sector needs between the different sectors. But that's what it do. It's an identification of needs, and then those needs are matched with the project of project developers. That can be TSOs, can be storage operators, etc. So this is a bit what this does. But of course, in order to get access to funding such as CFE, you need to get a label. And so this is the label of project of common interest, if it's between member states, or projects of mutual interest, if it involves also a third country, for instance, the UK. And so this is very important in the process. So in terms of identification of needs, in terms of matching projects with needs, and also to see which of those projects need financing. And so this is very important. And actually, access to funding such as CFE is very important in an environment with increasing needs for projects, in an environment where there's a lot of attention to cost of the projects. And so having European funding, but also national funding, of course, will help mitigating, of course, the impact of those projects in the budgets of companies, but also in the tariff that everybody is paying in the end.
Going back to projects of common interest, mm-hmm. How important are they? And how are they positioned in ensuring that Europe meets its decarbonization and security of supply goals?
Yeah, they are very important because in the end, we know that the dynamics is that renewable generation is not really developed very close to sites. So you have renewables in offshore grid, you have a lot of sun in Spain, in the close to Mediterranean. So we need to channel those energies. And so the project of common interest and mutual interest, which is not only interconnectors, they're also internal lines in the backbone that help increasing the flows and help increasing the transfer of this electricity towards the demand center. So this is they play a very important role in connecting supply and demand. And actually, if we are talking about competitiveness, it's very important so companies, industries can source not only available renewable, but also affordable renewables beyond, for instance, the borders.
You mentioned interconnectors, and I was thinking that the EU, the Commission, emphasizes interconnection and cross-border projects. Where are we making, let's say, the fastest progress, and where do you see bottlenecks?
We don't see a lack of identification of needs. The TYNDP, actually in the previous edition, 2024, provides already a lot of investment needs. The problem is how to match those needs with real projects and all the decision making to realize them. So there is what we see a bit of bottleneck is in the bridging needs with projects, the political decision to make them happen, because many of these projects implicate and also have impact beyond the countries that are hosting us. So an interconnector between A and B can have an impact and benefits, of course, with other countries. So this is where I believe is one of the bottlenecks. So really agreeing on cost sharing, but also benefit sharing of this project. And of course, on top of that, as mentioned, we need to find financing. Also, we need to streamline permitting. We have cases where a project takes perhaps 2-3 years to be really constructed, but it takes 6-7 years just to go through all the processes of permitting at different levels. And so that's, I think, something that we expect and hope that the grid package can help.
Yes, because 10 years for something that should happen way earlier and it's absolutely needed are perhaps a lot. And especially if we see how things are happening in China, in the US, and et cetera. But speaking in general about the market, the EU electricity market, how do you see it evolving? And what are the upcoming, let's say, EU policy rules, regulations, files that will shape the discussion around markets?
So perhaps looking back, there was a lot of an important revision of markets in the last few years. So, for instance, the clean energy package already back in 2019. So that's already revamped the rules and main legislation for electricity markets. Then after the crisis, of course, in 2022, there was a targeted update via the so-called electricity market design reform. And so there are already important rules, not only to support, for instance, renewables, to support capacity, backup capacity, to also to unlock flexibility from different areas, also to improve the function of the market. So what we believe is that on the one hand, there's now the time for member states, of course, to transpose and implement those rules. Of course, there are some implementation files that are ongoing. So you have, for instance, the development or update of new network codes or guidelines, which are ongoing. And there, what we believe is that the focus should be really on technical improvements. So really to improve on the technical level, how can we improve the markets, market integration, access, and competition for services, etc. And this is not really the place to, for instance, introduce changes in governance, roles, responsibilities, which should have its place, of course, in the political debate, but in the update of the main legislation. So that's kind of in the future. In the next step, for instance, actually, we're very curious to see what the European Commission will publish in the announced white paper on deeper electricity market integration. So this is a white paper that was announced already, I believe, in the Action Plan for Affordable Energy early this year. And so we are really curious to see what are the Commission ideas into improving the function of the markets and how these ideas will also influence the adaptation the electricity legislation in the next years.
Speaking of funding, that is also a very important topic for projects, for the energy transition for Europe. Which of the EU Commission funding mechanisms, like, for example, CEF, Horizon Europe, etc., are proving most effective in supporting large-scale energy infrastructure?
I would say the bread and butter of the funding for large-scale infrastructure would be CEF. CEF Energy, those are the focus there is on cross-border energy infrastructure. Of course, not only electricity grids, let's face it. So it's also some gas, some hydrogen, some CO2. And so there's different energy carriers that can access to that. So that's the main point. Horizon Europe is more for research, innovation, also first of a kind demonstration. So it helps to bridge the gaps, but it's not really the focus of Horizon Europe to develop large scale infrastructure. Innovation Fund is really interesting because originally, and I think on the current edition, it was mainly focused on new technologies, decarbonization of industry. Because of the political discussions, hydrogen was included, I think even support for wind manufacturing. And so perhaps, again, it's an idea could or should innovation fund also be used, or at least a part of it, to support not only grid technology, but some of the grid projects? Let's see. On the other hand, I think we see also good evolutions in what the Commission has proposed as part of the multi-annual financing framework in terms of the expansion of the budget of CFE, at least fivefold.
And where do you see the financing gaps? Where could EU policy, for example, do better, address these gaps, solve the issues?
Yeah, so there are different points. So indeed, so I was mentioning before, so European funding is very key. CFE, in the last multi-annual framework, it didn't actually increase the budget. So actually it was stayed the same, and many other technologies had to compete for that. So in that sense, I think we need to increase this budget. And there's where I was mentioning, there's a good proposal by the Commission increasing fivefold the amount of CFE compared to the current financial framework. And we hope that it stays that way, because in the end, it's a negotiation between member states. But at least the direction is very good. There is also good, for instance, in terms of new funding instruments that have been proposed. For instance, so-called competitiveness fund, which will also include funding for what they call local transmission and distribution grids. So not only cross-border, which should be taken care by CEF, but also some of the more distribution and transmission projects. Again, as mentioned, we believe that the innovation project could be also cater to some of the needs at grid level, either in the supply chain, but also perhaps in some demonstrations. But that's part of the story. So funding is part of the story. On the other side, you need also a lot of private capital. You need stakeholders, not only public, but also private stakeholders, big tickets that need to put money. And for that, you need to incentivize to invest in asset that will be there for next 30, 40 years. So there you need a really an attractive regulatory investment. So these private funds, private companies, even for some TSOs or grid operators that are in stock markets, that you and me can also invest in those. So you need a stable regulatory framework, but also the Commission, I think, can also help there via, for instance, the risking instruments. So you reduce, for instance, the cost of loans that grid operators need to do vis-a-vis private banks. So there, for instance, you could have a role for European Investment Bank, but also national development banks.
It's the same for the support of the digitalization of the grid, because funding is needed there too, right?
Yeah, definitely. So that I was mentioning, I think before, is not only putting copper or wires, it's also putting the needed digital infrastructure. And it goes from digital connectivity, of course, also digital capabilities to process a large amount of data that will come. But that's only at our level. If we go even deeper in the value chain, if we want to really unlock flexibility, what we need is also to invest and increase the pace, for instance, in the installation of smart meters. We need to also to give access to data at the smart meter, but also behind the meter, in order to really incentivize competition for services. And this requires money. We know that in the past, CEF was also dedicated to digital infrastructure. According to the new Commission proposal, I think that digitalization will go more in other type of funds. And so we believe that this is very important. So digital infrastructure, digital connectivity, capabilities to process, but also we need secure capabilities. We know that, I was mentioning before, that security, in particular cybersecurity, is becoming a more and more attention point for grid operators, but also actors in the value chain. And so also investing in cybersecurity capabilities, in AI, digital twins, I think this should be also part of the funding. And I think there's already actions that the Commission is taking, but we believe that the level of expectation and, of course, the level of investments and therefore funding will only increase in the next few years.
You mentioned infrastructure, and I have discussed with many people that represent projects that are focusing on infrastructure. And they were telling me that this kind of projects often face resistance, especially from the public. How do you think policy can and funding frameworks can support greater social acceptance? How can we let the people know that these projects are to their benefit?
Yeah, we'd say one part of the story is, of course, the good communication. So often the coordination has been and is still being linked with a lot of upfront cost, which is the case. So to decarbonize the system, you need upfront cost in renewables, in grids, in electrification. So there's a need. So definitely. So the second, of course, is permitting, as I mentioned. So investment in capabilities, in communication, in I think is very important during the permitting process. So to go to the local communities, to the zones where there will be development. So to really try to onboard the residents or the people that are around the area. So that's also part of the where the policy can help. And so I think that can be part of the story behind the grid package. On the other hand, also, I can also make the link with the previous topic on financing. So if we have big investments, if part of that investment can be taken by European funding, that also helps reducing the costs that are borne by citizens. If we can increase manufacturing capacities and decrease the difficulties to access those capacities via procurement, that will also traduce in at least in affordable network charges. So that's part of the story. Of course, we can go beyond that as well. For instance, the electricity bill is has a lot of taxes and levies that has nothing to do with electricity. So how can this be phased out or put in another package and not in the budget of electricity bills for companies and for citizens? So it's not really one single bullet solution. There are different solutions, communication, permitting, funding. I think those are part of solutions to help reduce, I would say, the social acceptance.
I agree with everything you say, but having done this job for almost a decade now, focusing on energy, I think that a nice, robust marketing campaign on the behalf of the European Commission should be priority number one, because a lot of good things are happening and I fear that the public doesn't know it. And of course, podcasts and like this one and platforms like Enlit World are helping towards that direction, if I may say so myself. Now, as we are approaching the end of our discussion, Manuel, I would like to ask you to tell me if you could change only one aspect of the EU funding policy to better support the energy transition, what would that be?
I'd say it's also linked with the way we want to manage the energy transition. I think it's also a lot of prioritization. So we know that we have different paths to reach the transition. We have some technologies that are more mature than others. And so for us, I think this is very much important when the Commission will give access to the current funding, also the future funding. So really mature technologies, such as grid technologies, are needed. They will unlock different parts of the value chain, not only in terms of direct electrification, but also indirect electrifications. If we want to go and to produce hydrogen from green or low carbon sources, you need access to vast amounts of electricity, affordable electricity. So in the end, for me, I would say prioritize in function of needs, in function of maturity. I think that could be, I would say, one of the ideas to improve and to the funding policy.
Makes total sense. Manuel, thank you very much for this interesting conversation.
Many thanks for your invitation and happy to continue the discussion.
You've been listening to the EU Energy Projects podcast, a podcast brought to you by Enlit and Friends. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, and the Enlit World website. Just hit subscribe and you can access our other episodes too. I'm Areti Daradimu. Thank you for joining us.